Guys, New York City is no longer safe.
There was a complete brawl in front of the studio.
A crazy situation.
Female brawl, by the way. Well, female and
The whole situation is genuinely completely very sad.
Seems pretty evil.
You don't know the details. Maybe it was a fight over candy.
I could hear... No, because I was the only one that
went... It seems like there was a candy dealer.
I could hear everything through the other door.
Okay.
And it's really fucked up.
But somebody has been... arrested.
Big ups to the NYPD.
Thank you, NYPD. Our boys in blue, you did it again. Another sicko off the street. Are they still fighting?
Yeah.
Well, that's good news.
The guy looked exactly like Matthew Golden.
Looked like Matthew Golden.
It looked like Matthew Golden was getting arrested.
But a woman got her face completely busted. And then they started attacking a motorcycle for no reason.
Uh-huh. They were doing Street Fighter bonus stage to a motorcycle.
This poor innocent motorcycle. First they knocked it over, and then the guy walked over
and started stomped
the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
So somebody had their motorcycle with no engine completely destroyed for no reason.
That's the weirdest part, is the motorcycle has no engine.
It doesn't have an engine. Maybe somebody already stole the engine.
I think we slipped into a backwards world.
I think we did. Yeah. This is like...
motorcycles have no engines.
Like, it feels like Twin Peaks Season 3.
Wow.
It's
seriously Lynchian.
It feels Lynchian as hell. No, it's like that fucking scene where the lady... He walks up to the car and the lady is just screaming. That's how it felt witnessing the fight.
I watched the first episode probably five
times.
The
first episode is so goated.
It's so long,
so good, dude. It's a movie, basically.
One of those and I'm like, I can't do this four times every day.
I watched Twin Peaks a while ago, and me and the fiance just restarted it like the other day, and the pilot blew my mind. I thought I was going to be like, well, it'll be nice to go. It'll be nostalgic to watch this again, but I couldn't believe how much I liked the pilot.
It's still very good.
It's crazy, man. But anyway, that felt to me more like Grand Theft Auto than David Lynch.
Was much closer to Grand Theft Auto, the video game.
Am I the only leftist that loves Twin Peaks?
You might be. I like the restaurant Twin Peaks.
When they put the guy into the car, he started smashing the door from the inside. Yeah. I thought we were going to see a full escape.
He looked like he was halfway through Zaz makeup from Batman Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked like he had a bunch of markings all over the back of his head and shit.
Very sad scenario, I'm going to say.
Yeah, well, the saddest part is it scared me.
He didn't think
me.
It was so sad when he was peering through the front door. Going,
I was trying to make... I was making... I thought that someone was going to die.
As soon as the fucking recording happens, you go, you were going to step in and stop it.
I thought somebody was going to die.
Hey, Mr. Cop.
Yeah.
Leave the guy alone, Mr. Officer.
Leave that guy alone, okay?
He didn't... All he did was break a woman's face in half.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right.
Well,
that's
a motorcycle?
That's what made me...
What, that's illegal?
I thought that this was
You thought it was a cat fight and you thought it was hot. But then as soon as a guy gets involved...
when a man punches a woman, it's immediately
a dog
the saddest
fighting a cat.
Thing.
Dog fighting a cat. That's not fun.
No, that's scary. No.
That's not fun. A dog chasing a cat around. There's cartoons
also,
about this
we
shit.
We all became the three little Karens in here. We're looking out the window oh, my God.
It was
Of course.
Awesome.
What's happening?
What do you mean? My life is so boring.
That's literally all I do 24/7 is look out my window and go, oh, my God. That's literally, I look out the window. I do exactly what we just did, but for when someone is talking on the phone, I go,
what are you talking about, guy?
What's going on? Hey, And maybe the one or two times a year when someone gets into a traffic fight. Oh, my God. Oh,
this is what we live for.
Look, come here. Look.
Well, that's what...
They're arguing.
We live our neighborhood is pretty quiet, but when I was living at that place in Bushwick where, the ceiling was constantly, falling apart and there was black mold, there was on Thanksgiving night, or the night before Thanksgiving Eve, I saw this whole family, brawl. And it was they were only speaking Spanish, so I couldn't understand what was happening. But I saw one dude coming down the street with a cinder block, and I was like, oh, shit.
It was
about to get crazy. Oh, no. But the worst part was the windows in my room. Because you know how I had, it was, an illegal, Alex's room should not have been built.
It was not built up to code.
It was just on top. Yeah. So my window, I wasn't able to see everything, so I had to go up to Alex's room because he really went home. Alex, I went in your room when you weren't home to watch a fight. But yeah, it was just this family just with cinder blocks and beer bottles being tossed at each other. And it was, that street was so fucking crazy.
You gotta see one thing like that a year.
Yeah. Like you gotta, it's always like around this time.
Last year we saw in Portland the guy telling us he was gonna kill the guy with a machete.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that on the show?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, a guy. I saw a guy dragging a chain.
Yeah, the chain dragger, the scary Resident Evil zombie guy.
We saw a guy with a laser gun.
We saw a laser gun guy. Who?
There was a homeless guy with a laser gun.
I don't remember that.
I remember. It.
Was it in the future or
it
now?
Was, must have been. It in was the in the past for us.
You're kidding.
Yeah. No, it was when we were there.
A laser gun
in
the
Portland?
Past.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's even scarier.
Yeah, it was in Portland
because he brought that technology from another time, another dimension.
I did realize the other day, like when I lived on that street where there was like constantly like a fight or like somebody like throwing like glass around or like somebody. A couple of guys.
Or someone collecting cans.
No, there was a couple of guys who decided to have some fun one night and slashed the bike tires on my folding bike.
That's fucked up.
Do you remember that?
The one.
Did I ever tell you about that?
The folding bike I gave you?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah. Wow. I woke up at 5 a.m. and I heard a bunch of guys going, "No, don't do that. Oh, no."
Well, that could have been.
Then the next day, both of my tires slashed completely. It was
guys like that would say, yes, do that.
No,
I had a group of teenage just pieces of crap walking by me the other day, and I was walking Phil, and they said, "Look at that dog, stupid ass dog. Fuck that dog." And I just literally, it was 8 people, so I just looked down and just ignored it.
Yeah. Mm. The other day, my neighbor rang the doorbell. She's like, "I forgot my keys."
Ah, that's not
these
similar
crazy,
to this.
Get out of my house, you crazy bitch.
Yeah, crazy psyche.
You crazy psyche.
I was walking with my girlfriend somewhere, and I cut through that big that park where we shot the Underworld's Biggest Mummy thing.
Mm.
We were taking a shortcut through there, and this group of teenagers pointed at me and said, "Yo, don't he look like Mario?"
Way.
And
you
the
got
worst,
cooked, man.
The worst part was I was wearing the poop hat.
You're wearing the pee hat.
Wearing the pee. And you guys, if that happens to you, your girlfriend is not going to look at you the same that day.
No,
I should have just broke off and went into just like a bodega and just hid there until
I don't,
she
I
left.
I think a lot of people, a lot of these teenagers are very well aware of the fact that they can ruin
they
any relationship.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If there's 3 or more of them,
of
they can ruin every relationship.
Yeah.
It's like fucking Nocturnal Animals, that movie. With Jake Gyllenhaal. It's like
Zootopia?
That. Zootopia?
Are you talking about Zootopia?
No, bitch.
Is this a documentary?
It's a movie that I saw probably 10 years ago that is about Jake Gyllenhaal being such a loser that his wife and daughter get murdered.
Oh.
But it's the same kind of scenario,
right,
basically.
He's getting roasted.
Mm. Yeah, where he's like just going along with stuff.
The bartender roasted me last night.
You're kidding.
What happened?
You were there. He called me Mustache.
Oh, dude, this guy was on one.
He was on one.
I tried to hand him a drink ticket, and I was like, "Hey, does this cover a June shine?" Okay, and before you say gay, beer upsets my stomach.
The bartender at the Bell House.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy likes me.
I think he likes everybody. Yeah, he must like me and Cameron because he was bullying us.
Yeah.
But
did he give you a shot?
Well, I said, "Can I have a June shine? Can this get a June shine?" And he said, "I don't know. Can it?"
God damn.
And
dude.
I just said, "Please tell me if I can buy a juice sign with this." And he realized.
He called me Mustache. And I said, "What?"
Yeah.
And he started laughing. And I said, "Did you roast me, man? Did you roast me?"
Yeah.
And he said, "No." I said, "Did you really just roast me?"
Mustache.
Well, the thing that we're leaving out is that all 3 of us were in elf costumes, which
I wasn't in an elf costume.
Not at this point.
Not at this point?
No.
Okay. Well, I was in my elf costume.
He was normal to me when I was in my elf costume.
He gave me a shot and said, "Bro, you better than Will Ferrell."
He said that?
Mm-hmm. Ask your wife. She can confirm she defended Will Ferrell.
She said, "You better than
she
Will Ferrell?"
She defended Will Ferrell?
His wife defended Will Ferrell
Caleb,
to the
why
guy.
Did you let her do that?
Because he's not better than Will Ferrell. You kidding me?
Your wife
you don't
defended
have to, you don't
Will
have to get
Ferrell.
Into a debate about it in front of the bartender.
The bartender
but that's a crazy
it.
Ass thing to say.
Yeah.
You're better than Will Ferrell?
The bartender said that. And
oh,
she,
you're smarter
she,
than Albert
she
Einstein.
She said, "I don't think that's true."
She's right. You're not better than Will Ferrell.
I don't know.
You're good. You're a nice guy.
According
you're my friend.
To the bartender.
He's better than Will.
You think he's better than Will Ferrell.
Maybe as an elf.
Yeah. Talladega Nights.
As an elf,
I don't like
maybe.
Talladega Nights.
Maybe
oh,
as an elf.
That's what he was referring. Yeah. Oh, I thought he was saying your whole body of work was
no,
better.
No,
than
no,
I forgot
no.
you were dressed like an
no,
elf.
No, no, I'm dressed like it. He's not saying I'm better than Will Ferrell in all walks of life.
Definitely,
he's saying I'm probably a better elf.
Okay, well, you're definitely not better than Will Ferrell as an elf.
I don't know.
We can't talk too much about Will Ferrell as an elf because that's part of my presentation
okay,
today.
Okay,
so
all
we
right,
have to move
right,
on from
right.
this topic.
We'll move on.
Well, I did. You know what? I would like to come clean and admit to a party foul. One that was an honest mistake.
No.
You guys, I accidentally stole the spotlight of a karaoke song. It was the
it
one.
You didn't steal a spotlight. You accidentally stole
you
somebody's
stole
spot in line. You cut in
I
line.
Don't. Well, it's disputed yeah. because we both picked the same song.
But they clearly picked it before you.
We don't know. The jury's still out.
Well, then you didn't do anything.
But they looked upset, and I want to apologize formally. I didn't realize until
well,
after.
Even if you did, you sniped
I didn't realize
song.
Until after when the song came right. up later in the queue.
You have to assume anybody at karaoke, if they pick one song, you have to assume that's the only song they know how to sing.
Yeah. Wait, so wouldn't the person
but I
you're
sang
giving,
twice.
Is it, do they have a person you're handing the request to?
Yeah.
Or do you tell it to them, or is it like
you, have
you write
a person
it down?
That they're
you
handing
write it
the
down.
Request
okay.
to.
Okay.
And
I was
going to
say,
write
if
it down and then you
oh,
hand
there
it
goes
to
the cop car. It's over, gal.
That's sad.
That's
the saddest part is that it's over.
I hope they're doing a raid right now in that building.
Me too, man. That'd be so fucking awesome.
I hope they're doing the movie The Raid in that building right now.
Repelling down the sides of the building. Yeah.
But I would like
Rainbow
to clearing
Six
out
Siege,
every floor.
Hitting yeah. every yeah. corner like this.
I've never
times.
Seen The Raid.
That movie's sick, bro.
I think we...
Have you seen The Raid?
No, but I can imagine
you
what
gotta
it's
watch. You guys got to watch that movie, man.
I think every single time we would go to... Not Gus's apartment, but anywhere with Gus in college, he would try to get us to watch The Raid.
It's a good movie.
Is it Beast?
It's
it,
Beast as
is
fuck.
Is it a Boston movie?
No, it's
no,
like a...
But it kind of
is? It's Ty or something like that.
Well, Gus only likes Boston movies.
Yeah. It's
Gus
some
literally
type of
just a, watches like The Town, Black Mass, and The Departed. That's all he watches. And movies that are like that. He,
man, I hate hanging out with I hate hanging out with Gus. He always puts on fucking Mystic River.
I need to bring this book. But he gave me a book when I was in LA. That he has this detective series that he's been reading since he was like 10 years old that he yeah. still reads. And there's like 200 of these books.
Uh-huh.
And it's about like a fat old detective. And it's the picture of the detective is a picture of the author. And it's called like McBarney or some shit, and he just solves mysteries every single time. It's the only book he reads. He gave me one, and he was like, "Yeah, you should read this book. It'll like change your life."
Wow.
And it's like a worse version of a John Grisham novel, and it takes place in Boston. That's why he likes
oh,
it.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Now, this one's completely in Asia.
The Raid.
The Raid. Yeah, it's not an American movie. I don't remember what country it is. I said Thai. Could be Thai.
Could be
Thailand.
Thailandish.
Mm-hmm. Don't know, so I'm not going to make a strong...
Is there an Outland?
Might be Indonesian, no. actually, now that I think about it.
Oh. Are they have the curvy letters.
Thai has curvy letters.
Yeah, Thai's got curvy
you know,
curvy
I learned
letters.
Why
but
they
the guys
the
from The Raid,
letters.
They put them in every action movie now.
Hmm. Okay.
They've just... So if you ever see a guy...
Are they the guys who get beat up?
They usually are bad guys.
Oh. Mm.
They were in some of the Star Wars movies, I think.
But they
I
were good
they
guys
were
first?
Well, they're in real life, they're actors.
Okay.
And athletes.
Oh, athletes.
Yeah, martial artists.
I wouldn't say athlete. That, I would say artist.
I think a
I would
martial
say athlete.
Yeah, you know what? That is.
It,
yeah.
Artist is in the name of the thing.
Right. I was going to say, I would say that they are athletes, but then you bring up the point that they are called artists.
To add the acting is the art part. But the martial,
I would say the martial is the art part.
Mm-hmm. No,
this is a beautiful dance between the wind and the man.
Yeah, I will say an escape artist is not an artist.
You don't think so?
No,
Houdini.
That is a stunt. That is a stunt man, or what's another
stunt artist?
Stunt athlete.
Yeah, but there's I think it's
a
an
martial
athlete.
Artist is an athlete 100%.
I
disagree. They have tournaments, bro. There's no art
figure skating.
Tournaments.
There are
that's
art tournaments.
What are you talking about?
That's
art.
That's not
that's
art.
Beautiful art.
That's
they play music.
There
man.
Is
you're
an
about
art
the ice
tournament
after they're done.
There is an art
looks
tournament,
like a Jackson Pollock.
And it's the Game Informer Art of the Month. There's
what?
That. That's an art tournament.
What are you saying? The Game Informer Art of the Month. I don't know
where
what
they
that
have
is.
The things in the Game Informer.
What does that have to do with what
that's an art contest? There's that's just one example.
I didn't
there's
say contest.
Also,
I said tournament.
Tournament.
But that has nothing. Of course, those people are artists.
Yeah, but it's a that's
they're not martial
athletic.
Artists. So.
I think I'm.
How's that
I think I've lost the plot, mate.
I think you, honestly, you bloody
I feel daft. I feel completely daft right now
for what you've
done. Bollocks.
You've gone bloody bollocks. You've been driven mad by this horrible world that you saw just a sliver of recently. This violence is driving you out of your mind. You would not last 1 second
anymore. It's all up the junction. I've completely
lost the
plot.
You've gone around the bend.
You're round the bend.
Oh.
You're over the hill.
Mate.
You hit the wall, mate.
You hit the wall.
I've hit the wall.
You've hit the wall.
I've hit the wall. Yeah. I'm completely washed. I'm mid now.
You're not mid.
Which celebrity women do you think
have hit the wall? I used to be a baddie, but now I'm mid.
Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon hit the wall.
Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren hit the wall.
B. Arthur.
Uma Thurman.
B. Arthur hit the wall.
Betty White.
Way. Betty White hit the wall and then passed away because she hit it so hard.
Yeah.
Oh, the cops are still here. What the hell?
Now they're going to come get us. We're going to have to give a fucking
statement.
We're going
to have to give a statement on
this recording. God damn it, dude.
We'll just hand them the first 30 minutes of the episode.
I will give a statement. I'm willing to give a statement if it is on recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because for my own protection. That's what we said.
Two cops standing right here. Oh, my God.
I think that's a good idea, actually.
I will not talk to them.
Pound that out.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good ass idea.
I'm leftist as hell today. I'm talking about Twin Peaks, not talking to cops.
What's next for you, man?
What's next for me?
Right wing.
Mm-hmm.
Time to become right wing.
I'm going to completely turn. I'm going to become post left. I'm going to go talk to those cops.
Go talk to them, man.
I'm going to go out there. I'm going to ask for an application.
The thing is, cops are so different in New York versus North Carolina.
Yeah.
In North Carolina, every cop is a super soldier. They're bred from birth to be a police officer.
Same with my hometown. Well, my hometown, we have the SWAT team.
In New York,
of the
they're just like normal, like 5'4
women.
They
go to the store here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They go to the store. They walk
then
around.
In North Carolina, they go, they walk as an army.
It is a literal army in North Carolina. People always say the NYPD is militarized. This is not, none of these people could be in the military.
No.
No.
They could be drone operators for sure.
They could be drones.
They could maybe be part of the BTS army.
Perhaps the BTS army.
Maybe the BTS army.
The only cops that he's
seen. The US army.
The only cops that Cameron has seen are Korean guys.
Yeah. Well,
white people love the
white
being
people
the
are
BTS
in the BTS army.
I thought that they were called the BTS army because
you thought they were called army because they
I thought
were Korean.
The group, no, I thought the group was called BTS army.
They're called BTS.
What?
I thought BTS was short for BTS Army, and then BTS was short for something else.
BTS is short for something, but I don't remember.
Behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Boys the Singers.
But BTS has to go into the Army. They broke up because they got pressed into
this
military service.
This keeps happening to guys.
Wow.
Korean
pop stars, they have to go fight in the Army.
Whenever a country has mandatory army,
that's fucked up.
They have to do it a lot. This has been taking down a lot of esports athletes, speaking of athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which those are the only real athletes nowadays.
PRX Jing just had to take a year off because he got put into the army.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then he came back, and he was even better at using his gun in the games.
Yeah, because now he knows how to reload it properly.
And now he has the thrill of the kill means nothing to him anymore.
He's doing, this is my rifle, this is my gun.
Exactly. He's completely been brainwashed. And so this makes you better. I don't know how it would make you better at music and dancing and rap, which BTS involves himself in, rap. But
I couldn't believe when they rapped.
They also involved themselves in McDonald's.
They involved themselves in a new meal.
We're being distracted by a beeping.
Oh, yeah, the car is beeping at the cops.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is another.
That's a classic New York moment.
Developing conflict.
Yeah, I feel like you'd only get that in New York where, like, if you honked at a cop that for blocking the road at all, they would draw their weapons immediately and Swiss cheese your car.
In North Carolina, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
No.
You have to be respectful and you have to cry or else you dead.
Yeah.
Here, there's so many videos of people fist fighting police in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
The cops go for it.
Yeah,
the cops will hand somebody, literally like that video where the guy is fighting the dude in the park and he like slips out the gun and hands it to his friend.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that with all the cops. They take off all their shit.
Yeah.
And they're like,
I'm off duty now.
Let's do this shit.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
like
the thing.
That.
That's a respect thing.
Yeah, that's fucking.
Could you imagine somebody coming, like moving to New York to become a New York police officer? That's got to be the most psychotic person in the world.
Can they do that?
Can you do that? Do you have to be a resident of the place that you lived to
no,
be a cop?
No, cuz all the traffic cops in my neighborhood are all from India. Hmm. Like every
do
single
they
one
ever
of them.
Do the thing that they do in movies where they're like, "Listen, buddy, you're too crazy. We're forcing you to move to a village. You can't be
like Hot Fuzz."
Like Hot Fuzz. Exactly. Like
yeah,
Hot
they
Fuzz.
Do that.
Is that
yeah.
real? Do they do that?
If somebody gets in a police involved shooting and gets whatever, they move you have them to yeah. the sticks.
Yeah. Yeah, but do you have to?
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's your cops in the sticks are eviler.
I know.
Well, that's because they're why. All from yeah. yeah they're all because they all shot somebody.
Yeah, they all got sent away.
Yeah.
They all got sent to boarding school by their bosses.
Imagine the reverse, though. Like a cop that's like too shitty, so they send him to New York.
Yeah.
They should do that.
We need
like
to toughen
time.
You up.
Well, it's cop here. I heard there's a cop here who shot a couple people. They sent him to Christmas City in the North Pole.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
Doing what? Cop?
Being a police officer.
Being a police officer?
Yeah.
Imagine the police
NPPD?
There.
Yeah.
Wow.
They don't have guns. They have a candy cane in their holster.
Mm-hmm. They have slingshots.
They have slingshots that shoot bullets.
Yeah. That shoots bubbles.
A slingshot that shoots bubbles.
That's a good invention.
It's actually an amazing invention, man.
Yeah,
you might
that.
Be back. You might have gained the plot back.
Mm-hmm. They might have jelly marbles kind of bubbles, kind of bubble like that.
Jelly marbles jelly kind marble of bubbles. Kind what could this
an
mean?
An Orbi?
Yeah, you lost it again, man.
Orbi.
Yep, you're back to being completely
I
gone.
I liked it when it was just a bubble.
Yep. A sleigh that with an alarm system or a siren
no,
system,
that's
rather.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't mind that at all.
A sleigh. I mean, wait. What other vehicles are there in the North Pole? Is Santa the only
sleigh?
Is he the only one with a fucking car?
Yeah. Cross country skis, snowmobile.
Yeah, you have to like walk everywhere or ski everywhere.
They
yeah.
definitely have got
oh,
snowmobiles,
snowshoes.
Man. Snowshoes, snowmobiles.
Did you
I mean,
guys
that's
ever,
walking.
Remember
did you
snowshoes?
See snowshoes and
SNEAUX?
No.
Oh, that was like Steve-O's shoe company.
You ever see snowshoes when you were a kid on movies and TV and say, I want to walk on those, man.
It's
yeah,
fun.
What are they
have
really
you ever
do?
Been, have you ever been snowshoeing? So it spreads out your weight so you don't sink into the snow as
oh,
much.
Oh, that makes
but
sense.
But they're just tennis rackets, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, a cartoon one is, yeah. I'm
I
sure the old
tennis
ones
rackets
are.
To my feet when I was a kid.
It probably does about the same thing. My,
well, we didn't
my
have
mom,
any snow.
I used to go snowshoeing with my mom. They're like metal and like, I mean, they're kind of like, yeah, they're like metal and they're your feet lock in like skis.
Have there been, yeah, I was going to ask, has there been advancements in snowshoe technology?
Yeah.
Probably
do you think they have a
style.
Snowshoe that looks like a Jordan 4?
No. Well, so you wear your shoes.
Oh, okay.
Still.
So that you could,
so
wear
you could,
a wear,
you could just wear your
but
Jordans.
That would be fire, dude.
Yeah, you just wear your shoes
that
and you strap
so
into
sick.
The snowshoes. But it's fun. It's a fun thing to
imagine
do.
Imagine the Balenciaga snowshoe.
Mm. Pulling up at your Inuit
free
village
idea.
With the Balenciaga snowshoe. Dude.
Free idea, yeah. Balenciaga.
People
if
losing
listening.
Their fucking mind.
The fun part is when you get the poles, like the cross-country ski mm-hmm. type poles. You don't really
this.
Need them at all.
I've been watching this woman on the phone who is from...
Ooh, ambulance.
Ambulance.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude, it just keeps... the fucking mailman's going to show up next? What the hell? Come on.
The mailman did show up in the middle of it.
The mailman, the pizza guy, everybody just
when
showing
I,
up.
When
the
I was
teacher,
in the
teacher,
other the
yeah.
other door, when I was in the other doorway, the mailman poked his head over and then threw a package in and then started walking.
That sucks if you're a mailman and something happens like that and it happens
yeah.
like at the place you have to deliver. It's illegal for you to not deliver
right,
that mail.
You have to yeah. deliver it.
You have a literal honors bound system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have a code that you must
the
uphold.
Mailman's yeah. code is one that is punishable by death.
I've been trying to get
if you break it.
I've been trying to get car insurance and every single time I go for a quote, it always asks, is anybody in your family in the military, the a police officer, or a postal officer.
Mm.
So apparently you get all the same benefits.
Yeah, you get crazy, crazy benefits.
From just being a fucking mailman?
Yeah, yeah my uncle's a
swag.
Mailman. Or was a mailman. Then
this
he
is
had
an
a crazy
amazing,
hip surgery.
Anybody should do this job.
So it takes a long time to get to where it's really good. Like that's very heavy seniority based.
Yeah, that's what my uncle
you have
was
to,
at.
Yeah, you have to like work for a long time before
so
you get all
like
the...
it is like the samurai.
They kind of. I think it's one of the things where they kind of initiate you. They kind of fuck with you a little bit.
You get hazed?
Well, yeah. You get hazed in getting the worst hours.
Well, you
like
definitely get... The new guy definitely gets the Santa letters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're like, go ahead, bring him to the North Pole.
Dickhead. Yeah.
I used to give my uncle my letters to Santa.
They go to a, you know, they have a training academy.
Bring him.
My buddy's a mailman. Shout out to Emmett. He's telling me that he has to go to like an, it's like a full academy. Like
yeah.
you go to like for like 2 weeks or whatever, and
wow.
you go take different classes about different types of mailman things.
Do you have to? Do you do?
Isn't that awesome?
Do you spin the bag like the gun?
You have to learn how to spin the bag. There's reading bad handwriting on letters.
No.
On the addresses.
Oh my God.
There's not. That's
I
not,
knew. Oh, I thought that was
there
true.
There is a whole section they, of. There's like a.
I thought you actually. I thought you were telling the truth.
Well,
there.
The academy is real, but that's yeah. not a real class.
There's a big that USPS. Like center where all the mail where they can't read the handwriting yeah. goes, and they use some computer some, yeah, to try yeah, to input yeah. it, and then some of those letters have just been there. They can't throw them away.
Yeah.
So some of those letters have just been sitting there for like 40 years.
It's crazy.
They just have no idea where it's supposed to go.
Have you ever thrown mail away that wasn't yours?
Yeah, my wife threw away a giant box of mail that was sitting in our apartment for a while this week, and I said, that's illegal. You're going to go to jail.
You just admitted to your wife's crimes.
Yeah, well, I double jeopardy, can't be held responsible.
Oh, okay.
I always return them.
Yeah.
You return every last piece?
Well, if it's so if it's a former tenant and it doesn't say or current resident, I yeah. cross out the barcode and say not at this address, and I send to put it back.
That's
in
what
the
you're supposed out, to do.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, but it doesn't work.
I just put it in
so what's your supposed you're supposed to do that, and then supposedly the mail carrying service is supposed to take like the and post office is supposed to take it and like well they take it but they're supposed to take it and be like oh we won't deliver this to to this person anymore here because yeah. they're
for
clearly not
some
here
reason,
but they still send them but they do take it away.
I get like every single apartment that I've lived in. No, my first apartment. Every apartment, but after my first apartment, I've lived in three places. They have never ever once given me a mail key.
Really?
And
so
in
you
my
have no
last,
access.
My last apartment before I moved out, I talked to my mail lady and I said, is there any way that you can open this up for me? I have not been given a mail key. Do I go to your office to get a mail key or what? That looks awesome. Wait, talk into it.
Cam put a Santa hat on his microphone.
I think it's dampening it too much.
I don't think it's dampening it at all.
You do sound
I don't think it's
cool,
dampening
though.
It enough. You sound like Santa.
Oh, 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 oh.
Whoa.
Wait, you really do. It's a little Dracula now.
Yeah. But yeah, she said, oh shit, that makes so much sense, and then opened it up, and there was just crammed mail, like like the slot like just had so much shit
looked
in there.
Like
she was
a,
like
a real thinly cut turkey sandwich
yeah.
where they fold
yeah.
it over a million times.
That's what it looked like, and she was like, yeah, I just thought nobody lived here.
Wow. I thought you were nobody, man.
Yeah. I thought you were a complete ghost.
I thought you just didn't matter at all.
Yeah.
Well, Cameron,
I had a stack of mail that tall.
You putting that hat on your microphone
reminded me of Christmas.
Got me well into the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
Guys, it's week two of the, or is it?
4 weeks of Christmas.
I guess, I think so.
It's week two of the 4 weeks of Christmas. On the second week of Christmas.
I wish we had his sleigh bells on there.
Well, watch this. I think you're going to be surprised in 1 second.
That's the bell shaking.
It's if you hit them really hard.
That's
it's a different, they changed the
bells.
That's
a Jaws harp.
It's not a Jaws harp. It's a Jew's harp.
Why do you say Jaws harp?
Because it goes in your jaws.
Oh, you're afraid to say Jew's harp?
It goes in between the jaws. There
that's
we go.
Kind of jingle bell-ish.
That's closer to a jingle bell.
That's Christmassy.
Yeah. What is that sound?
Chimes.
No.
It's chimes, man.
It's chimes.
It's fully chimes.
It has been declared chimes by the sound
association.
Open
up the PowerPoints. And go.
And we're off on another amazing journey. Two guys.
Races.
Mystic Investigations.
We're back on Mystic Investigations, y'all.
I think
we're
Untitled back. Presentation is mine. Yeah.
And mine is Khaki Webby Baba.
Khaki Webby Baba.
All right. Who's going? Who wants to go first?
I can go first.
Okay. Let Mr. Patrick go first.
All right. So we are back talking about Mystic Investigations, you guys.
You're back talking me.
But no,
don't
I'm
you
talking,
dare back
talking
talk.
About Mystic.
Hey, you're doing it right now, you bitch.
I'm not back talking.
You're
not
sassing.
A bitch.
You're
I'm not
sassing
sassy.
Me, you
I'm
bitch.
Not sassy.
You start.
Can you give it like an applause? Because it's Mystic Investigations. This is one that the fans love.
Why does
I think
it need
we,
an applause?
I love Mystic Investigations. I got lost
are,
looking in through
we
all this
We were investigating
today.
A mystical event over there of a fight that I feel like we did not give Mystic Investigations a big enough applause when we mentioned it.
All right, well, if you're
going to
be such a,
it.
Again, back-talking me, but...
Mystic Investigations, y'all.
All right, you get that. You get a couple,
all right,
get a couple of claps from me.
I was concerned that we weren't going to talk about what Christmas is really about, which obviously, as
presents.
You know... No, that's exactly what I was going to talk
no,
against.
That's exactly what
I thought it was commercialism.
Yeah, I think that maybe you're forgetting the true meaning of Christmas.
What's the true meaning, Pat?
Well, the true meaning...
It's about corporations having
it is about,
green and red.
It is about...
And their logos.
It's about respecting the birthday of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Julio, click next on the slide. Did Santa Claus ever meet Jesus?
Oh my. Okay, here's my theory.
Posted December 7th, 2023.
My theory based on this picture is yes.
The Christmas Spirit.
Wait, the Christmas Spirit wrote this? My theory is no, because Santa had no reason to be Santa until Jesus had passed away.
Well, let's hear it out.
Yeah, you're going to love this what you're about to hear.
You're sure?
From the Christmas Spirit.
More back talk.
And as an Amazon associate, we earn from qualifying purchases.
Yep.
Yes, Santa Claus has indeed met Jesus Christ, the first son of the Omniverse God, on several occasions. This includes the one time Santa was in heaven upon his death at the hands of the Anti-Claus on December 6, 343 AD. While in heaven, he was able to witness Christ in his complete magnificent metaphysical form. Although that wasn't the first time he met the most famous demigod. Oh, click the next slide. Demigod and Vice Lord of the Omniverse. Despite being born almost 235 years after the death of Christ, Santa was able to meet Jesus via time travel.
Wow.
As a demi-angel, Santa, or Nicholas at the time, accidentally stumbled upon his developing chronokinetic powers at age 16.
Wow.
He spontaneously traveled 15 minutes back in time to meet himself. Naturally, 15 minutes before that happened, he was shocked to meet his future self. After that, Santa began practicing time travel, but he found the further back he traveled, the more energy was drained from him. He also found himself greatly weakened and in need of ever longer recovery times. At age 19, he finally traveled back to the year 1 AD to meet baby Jesus.
Santa at age 19. What do you think he looked like?
I wish they had a photo.
Rippling muscles, bulging through a red pinstripe suit.
Ooh, because he had the suit.
Because he had the
suit. You know he had the suit.
No beard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying,
Adventures of Young Santa Claus.
Ooh, that is an amazing...
Let's make the movie, guys.
We gotta make that movie.
Adventures of Young Santa, like young Indiana Jones.
Uh-huh.
He could fight a piece of glass.
Young Sheldon, young... Whatever.
Young
it could
anything.
Be any young movie.
People love when old stuff is young.
And Adventures of Young Little Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
We could make that too.
Young Scooby-Doo.
They made that. At age 19, he finally traveled back to the year 180 to meet baby Jesus and officially became part of the first Christmas. The three wise men magi sensed his holy nature and he was allowed to approach the Christ child. He technically gave Jesus the first Christmas gift when he presented a rattle that he made. Although... It was actually the fourth gift after the three wise men's presents.
Oh.
When Santa was 24, he visited Jesus in his 30th year of life. Jesus had complete knowledge of St. Nicholas's importance in the future. They discussed the state of reality and the destiny of humankind.
I do feel like that's a little bit of a flop gift for the Son of God.
Yeah. Absolutely. A rattle.
After
gold.
Yeah.
Gold.
Frankincense.
Myrrh. I love myrrh.
Oh.
Myrrh.
Frankincense, I do...
While we're speaking about movie ideas, this kind of a My Dinner with Andre, Santa and Jesus sitting down and chop it up about the state
exactly
of reality and the destiny
thinking.
Of humankind. Uh-huh. Isn't that an incredible
that
idea?
My Dinner with Santa
idea.
And
My
Jesus.
Santa's Dinner with Jesus.
Santa's Dinner with Jesus coming 2025.
Because the thing is, Jesus he's not ascended yet, but he has some knowledge that Santa will be an important figure.
Santa will
be
one of the most important figures.
Yeah, which
of Christmas.
I think it's hard to argue that Santa's not maybe the most important person.
Imagine meeting somebody who is like, I have time traveled to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
Please, please let me be the God of your birthday. Let me be the God of your birthday.
I want to be in control of your birthday after you're dead.
Once you die. Once you die, I have to.
I'm from the future, and I am in charge of your birthday.
I'm from your future. You're going to die in 3 years.
Here's a rattle. Do you remember this rattle I gave you?
I think that I'd be a little skeptical of him being the Son of God if, as a baby, he was playing with a rattle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's a bad gift. It's a bad, bad gift.
The frankincense, he's going to smell that. The myrrh,
and that stuff
he's going to use that.
That stuff has spiritual significance. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, I guess rattles kind of have a spiritual significance.
How so? Bitch.
Maybe it's a sound. You could, if you're
the death
dead,
rattle.
If you're dead, you could, your death. Oh my God, Santa delivered his death rattle.
Back with the sarcasm.
Holy crap.
Sarcasm.
He's being sarcastic.
No, I'm not being sarcastic.
I can tell based on the way you're talking.
No, no, no. Okay, well, speaking of death rattles, Santa Claus witnesses the death of Jesus Christ, and I need you to see this photo of Santa kneeling at Christ's cross.
Holy shit.
The unmistakable silhouette of Santa.
One of the most artistic photos I've ever seen in my life.
It is so beautiful, this photo of Santa and Christ.
Well, if Christ isn't there, it's just the cross.
Well, it's the cross
of Christ. This is
Christ.
The cross.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb. Well, is it cross, your cross to wear or cross to
cross
bear?
Cross to bear.
But he wears it.
He bears it.
It's on his body. He weared it.
Well,
he bears it, man.
Finally, at age 32, Santa went back to witness the crucifixion of the Lord's Son. When speaking of this, he begins to weep and says it's the most horrific thing he ever saw. Santa openly admits he went back a bit earlier in an effort to save Jesus from the Romans. However, Jesus himself implored Santa to let history take its place at its predestined course. In reality, Christ knew the Romans weren't the real threat, but a mysterious force from beyond the omniverse who had a vendetta for with his father. They are the ones who weakened Jesus so that the Romans could murder him. Had Santa tried to intervene, he might have been wiped from the very face of the earth before Christmas ever truly got started.
This can't be the worst thing Santa ever seen.
No.
How many times has Santa gone down a chimney and it's that one episode from Breaking Bad with the ATM?
Yeah.
You
mm-hmm.
know? It's like a little dirty kid who's like in shackles, yeah. But he's been really good. He's got to deliver. How many
present.
Child slaves has Santa not saved?
Probably a million.
I think like 60% of the children on earth are slaves.
Yeah, and he's and they're what? So they're naughty because they're slaves?
Yeah, no, yeah. They're nice.
Yeah, they're nice. Go give them a present. Nice. And while you're there, slip them a key.
Yeah.
Give them
yeah.
a birthday.
All I want for Christmas is a skeleton key.
Yeah, just get out of that.
All right, this next one is just a photo, but it was I picked it because I liked that it was a paid ad.
Wow.
And it's a photo of Santa feeding baby Jesus,
breastfeeding
him.
Yeah.
And it says paid ad at the bottom. I wonder who paid for this figurine.
Well, I think it's some kind of auto.
It must be. Anyway, the coolest thing about Santa and Jesus' relationship is that Santa's prayers are directly answered by Jesus.
Wow.
Santa Claus is one of the few people on earth who can pray to Jesus Christ and actually get a spoken reply.
That's unbelievable.
Although he keeps the direct prayers to Jesus minimal so as not to annoy him. Plausibly, the Vice Lord Christ gets trillions of prayers from parallel universes and multiverses within the greater omniverse. Most of St. Nicholas's prayers are the equivalent of a rhetorical question, so no direct reply is required. Santa also gets the treat of Jesus being his Santa on Christmas.
Whoa.
The Holy Christ leaves a gift for Santa underneath his Christmas tree in Claus Manor. Santa's perpetually young kids, Nicholas and Mary, always try to wait up to see Jesus coming down the tree. Unfortunately, they always mysteriously fall asleep.
I bet he gives them a rattle.
Mm-hmm.
I had a mention of his perpetually young kids and mine too. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who are they? What's their story? And I Googled them. I Googled like Site Mystic Investigations, Nicholas Jr., which is mm-hmm. the kid's name. And they never explain. There's just a bunch of different things where he is. And Santa and his perpetually young kids, Nicholas Jr. and Mary.
Santa eagerly awaits the return of Jesus Christ at the conclusion of Armageddon. Although he makes a point of inviting him to Christmas and Easter dinners every so often, in the hopes of him taking biological form, in his eyes it would be the highest honor and most beloved guest to have, second only to God himself. It is rumored Jesus Christ will appear at Santa's Christmas dinner in a spiritual form not long before the final battle of Armageddon.
OMG.
That's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Before all shit turns south, Jesus will be like, all right, fine. You know, you've been inviting me for a while. I'll finally show up.
In spiritual form, though.
In spiritual
I'm busy,
form.
So I'll show up in spiritual form.
I'll show
form.
Up. You'll see me at the end of the table in a force ghost, and I'll just wave. But that's all I have to say about Santa and Jesus. But I did find one more interesting thing that I think we need to learn.
Okay.
We need to discuss.
What is it?
Even Santa poops, not... Unlike the imposter in the video, the real Santa Claus does not poop, nor does he produce noxious gases. As a demi-angel, angel-human hybrid, St. Nicholas does not require food to survive, although his human half does crave it. His digestive system is supernatural and 100% perfect. Everything he ingests is utilized by the human half of his body or transferred into angelic energy, the same angelic energy that allows his human components to survive without sustenance.
More or less, he could theoretically eat anything without any negative side effects. This includes insane things such as a chunk of steel, some uranium, or even a cup of hot lava. If you're one of the unfortunate beings on this planet that must endure the indignity of defecation, then you probably need the product in the video above to mask the hell of your smell. LOL, poopery before you go toilet spray is the perfect stocking stuffer for humans. For most humans, a.k.a. animal god hybrids, on your Christmas list.
So why is he as fat as a fucking melon?
Because he doesn't poop.
He it's doesn't all in there. Poop. Yeah.
Every time he eats, his system is
But he doesn't
not,
need to eat, he says.
Right, but he craves it because he's likes human craves. Half craves it, so he does
has,
it anyway.
He has 2,000 years of shit stuck
so
in his body.
That's why his belly is big. But
okay, this is all kind
of becoming surprised that even makes him jolly.
It would make me fucking... If I was that impacted, I'd be mad as fuck.
Oh, yeah. I would become the anti-claws.
Yeah.
That's all my slides. All
right, I'll go next here. This is a story time.
Okay,
I have for you guys, and this is apparently true. The movie Elf with Will Ferrell we were talking about earlier is based on a true story, guys.
OMG!
So I'm gonna tell you guys about what actually happened.
Tell me the true story of Elf because it's become so commercialized.
Yeah, it's been basically corrupted, and the real story is. You know, I'm going to say reality is sometimes stranger than fiction.
Mm-hmm.
That's my preface to this.
That's an amazing saying.
Thank you.
I never heard that.
The movie Elf, starring Will Ferrell, is the story of an orphaned human baby who was raised as one of Santa's elves at the magical North Pole capital of Christmas. An unnamed celebrity in the paranormal community who was a regular guest of North Pole City learned of the true Elf story and then gave the idea to Elf screenplay writer David Barenboim. David then built his own Buddy the Human Elf story around the real one because the rights to the original story are held by Santa Claus and the human elf. However, Santa does give people permission to create similar stories around the true ones. To some extent, the supernatural secrecy pact could be in play, but realistically, nobody would believe such stories are real anyway. So Santa is the copyright holder of this story, and he said you can't use the story, but you can do one that's almost exactly the same.
So David Barenboim has a direct line to Santa.
Through an unnamed celebrity.
Who do you think it is?
Visits North Pole. Yeah.
Is it like
in the paranormal
Burl
community?
Ives?
Yeah, it's got to.
It's got to. Okay, who is a celebrity that is also involved with paranormal community?
Zach Bagans.
No, that's too involved.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like it's got to be someone who maybe knows Will Ferrell or rolls with Will Ferrell.
It's definitely not Zach Bagans.
Rob Schneider.
Could be Sacha Baron Cohen.
Could be
Sacha Baron Cohen.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's definitely not Zach Bagans. Zach Bagans is like that video of the guy standing outside of Ice Poseidon's bus.
I don't know that.
Don't know it.
Oh, okay.
Mrs. Claus come along for the Christmas Eve flying sleigh ride. In truth, the real elf was technically Santa and Mrs. Claus' first child, although be it an adopted one. On Christmas Eve of 1888, so this is an old story, Mrs. Holly Claus wanted to come along during Santa's present deliveries that included the usual three sleigh-managing elves who assist Santa. There are certain dangers with her coming along as she was merely a human at the time who had to be magically protected against the stresses of flying a light-speed teleportation sleigh. There are also potential attacks from various dark supernatural beings. Even in her current status as an immortal human, these supernatural stresses would still be an issue. The magical protections required things to be slowed down, which can also make Santa more vulnerable to the Anti-Claws, Krampus, or other destroyers of Christmas. Since most of these dark Christmas entities were beaten back sufficiently in 1888, it was somewhat safe for Mrs. Claus
to
join Santa.
So it happened that year.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Mrs. Claus only came down the chimneys of select places with Santa. That included a religious orphanage in New York City. Sounds familiar, right?
I'm starting to remember this.
Sounds like
where
Elf.
She greeted some of the babies in their cribs as Santa delivered gifts. The priest who ran it actually knew St. Nicholas, so there was no violation of the supernatural secrecy pact.
Ah.
Mrs. Claus took an automatic liking to one baby in particular, and she rocked him gently in her arms. When it was time to go, she asked Santa if they could take the child back to the North Pole to raise as their own. This was before the angelic heavenly hierarchy intervened to grant them children of their own. Nicholas Jr. Immortals such as Santa can't have children naturally, despite an angel being able to have one immortal child with a human. It's nature's way of preventing the earth from being overrun with immortals, thereby overshadowing the predestined story of humanity.
Wow.
The priest had no objection to the adoption, but Santa regretfully said he was forbidden from bringing a human to North Pole City who did not find their way there on their own. This was another amendment of the Supernatural Secrecy Pact. She was quite melancholy over leaving the child behind in his crib. Her sobbing in the back of the sleigh made the rest of the delivery schedule a real downer. Santa and the elves tried to console her, but she just couldn't forget the adorable little baby boy. However, she eventually kept a stiff upper lip and fell silent so as not to hinder Christmas in any way. So Santa ruined Mrs. Claus Christmas hard.
Well, they had to have gotten the kid at some point.
But then a little fella invades North Pole City. Later on, during Christmas morning, Santa was enjoying his first post-delivery meal. So here we see that he does eat. Yeah. A behemoth of a breakfast fit only for a powerful human-angel hybrid like St. Nicholas. Mrs. Claus barely touched her hotcakes laden in peppermint syrup and butter made from reindeer milk.
Ew. Oh. Actually, that's probably fine.
Nearby, a plethora of elves chattered and chowed down with glee. Suddenly, everyone fell silent and stopped inhaling their sugary food as the subtle sounds of a baby cooing could be heard. Santa uttered, "What in the seventh heaven is that?" Everyone walked over to Santa's giant red velvet sack that should have been empty after being drained of all Christmas toys. The bag was moving, and suddenly a baby came crawling out, smiling at everyone. It was Mrs. Claus's baby boy from the orphanage. The child had somehow miraculously left his crib and entered the bag in the short span of a minute. He managed to stay hidden in the bag throughout the rest of Santa's deliveries due to it being a four-dimensional bag. It had virtually unlimited space within, so the child was probably crawling about what appeared to be warmly lit corridors for hours before finding his way out.
Yeah, imagine if it didn't find its way out.
The baby was in the back in rooms.
The inside of Santa's bag is the back rooms, man.
He could have been in there. They could have never found him.
Yeah.
He could have died in there.
He could have died of starvation and water lack.
Imagine if Santa killed the baby on Christmas.
I know. Mother Christmas scooped the cute baby up in her warm, loving arms as she cried tears of joy. She looked at Santa and asked, "He found his way here on his own. Can we keep him, dear?" He grinned widely and told her, "Yes, my dear." From that moment onward, she raised him as their own child and named him Sandy, in honor of Santa's father, the Archangel Sarandiel. Although he spent a great deal of time with Santa's elves, normally people age extremely slow at North Pole City, including Mrs. Claus. However, no human baby had ever lived there for any long length of time. Something caused him to rapidly age physically to adulthood by the time he was 12 years old in the year 1900. Although he was still mentally a child, since his friends were all childlike elves, it was later revealed that his constant inhaling of elf dust acted as a supernatural stimuli to accelerate his
growth.
Does
elf dust come off of an elf's body?
So here's a little sidebar on what is elf dust. Okay. This is I pulled up this article just to so we know here. Most often, elf dust is a byproduct of their respiration process. When exhaled, it's invisible most of the time. However, it accumulates in the surrounding environment at North Pole City. Much of the glitter in the snow is actually elf dust. The majority of elves, including Santa Claus's enchanted elves, only breathe the helium in our atmosphere. This partly explains their comical low-pitched voices, which I think they mean high-pitched.
They meant high.
Helium composes a mere 0.00524% of our air, as opposed to the oxygen we breathe, which makes up 20.946%. Elfin cells paranormally process the helium and manufacture an argon neon compound of AR2NE3 that is exhaled from their lungs. Scientifically, such a compound could never exist, but this is the world of the supernatural we're talking about here. That being said, the second this rare gas hits the air, it immediately breaks down to argon and neon. These gases, famous for causing the glow of neon lamps, emit a brief glow from the elf's nose and mouth if viewed in complete darkness. In addition, the exhaled elf dust will visibly shimmer in that moment as well.
I'm always so fucking amazed at how in-depth all this is.
But beware.
No. Oh, my God.
That some glittering and glowing substances can, in fact, be radioactive rather than supernatural. Although, in some cases, supernatural substances are radioactive. Thankfully, true elf dust is harmless to humans.
Thank God.
If you see something glittering and sparkling,
it's either.
Don't touch it.
Because
it could be radioactive.
Well, but it could be elf dust, which could make your body get bigger.
That's true.
So
could make you age.
Kind of a gamble.
So back to the story here. Sandy confronted his adoptive father, Santa. He and Mrs. Claus sat down with Sandy to give him the news he was adopted and was originally a human. Despite that Santa made it clear he was their real son brought to them by the spirit of Christmas, he had also grown into a true elf and should no longer consider himself human. Sandy was content for a time until 1909, when Santa and Holy Claus saw the birth of their first biological son, Nicholas Jr. The Archangels allowed them to have kids after seeing how positive it was for the Clauses to raise Sandy. Sandy became somewhat disenchanted and jealous of the arrival of the new child. He decided to return to the human world in 1911 to find his real parents. As a demi-angel, Santa could look into anyone's mind and see who their parents were. So now we're getting to the movie plot here.
Okay. Mm.
Sandy's mother, Ellen Hemingsworth, was part of an affluent New York City family who arranged a marriage for her to another wealthy clan. Her husband, Percy Hemingsworth, was a horrible cad who cheated on her and was only in the marriage to increase his family's power and position in life. Sandy's heartbroken father, Patrick Forrester, was disowned by his own working class family and run out of town so they wouldn't be blacklisted from working at local factories. He headed out west and became a cowboy who never married because he was still hopelessly in love with Sandy's mother. Sandy was given a mystical snow globe by Santa that allowed him to open various portals. In a flash, he was out west in a small Colorado town called Woodland Springs, current home of Mystic Investigations, the creators of this website. He found his father on a cattle ranch.
That's almost amazing.
Yeah.
And now we'll see more similarities with the movie here. Without blood and DNA tests, it took some time to convince Pat Forrester he was his son. Thankfully, his mystical elf powers aided him, and they bonded for some years. Sandy didn't reveal where he had been raised as per the Supernatural Secrecy Pact, along with being told by Santa he would be branded a nut burger without proof he wasn't allowed to produce. Mm-hmm. Although in defense of life, one can reveal their paranormal powers. This happened when a violent gang of psychopathic cattle rustlers attacked the ranch in the winter of 1913. Everyone would have surely died if Sandy had not single-handedly repelled them, mostly via dense, high-speed snowball throwing.
Happens in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Happens in the movie, yeah.
Being beamed with a 100-mile-per-hour wet-packed snowball can mess a person up real good. Sandy was also forced to display other elfin abilities, such as super strength, when he tossed a few rustlers around. This caused the formation of glittering elf dust to emanate from him. He finally told his dad he was an elf. Knowing such magic existed inspired him to take his son back east to reclaim his true love. They traveled there instantly via Santa's paranormal portal activated by the magical snow globe. Then, in New York City, Christmas 1913 was approaching. That's Christmas 1913. It's a different holiday. Mm-hmm. As Sandy finally convinced his mother he was her son, she demanded a divorce from Percy Hemingsworth as she fell in love with Pat Forrester all over again.
Wow.
However, the abusive cat of a husband sent thugs.
Not thugs.
After father and elfin son. The thugs that were then dispatched Christmas style by Sandy. A divorce was denied by everyone as Sandy's mother, Ellen, was whisked away to England in the dead of night. Father and son managed to find out where she was, but the magical snow globe portal was only programmed to go to Woodland Springs, Colorado, New York City, and back to North Pole City. Sandy was going to return to the North Pole with his father to ask Santa for help, but it was Christmas Eve, and they spotted him in the skies above, bellowing, "Ho, ho, ho, Merry Christmas." Santa sensed Sandy's presence below and landed in some woods nearby. That happens in the movie, too, landing in woods. After hearing what happened, Santa told Sandy and his father to hop in the sainted red sleigh. They immediately flew away to England in a flash. Sandy kicked in the door, and his father got into an epic fist fight with the abusive cad, Percy Hemingsworth.
I hate this cad.
How did they get to England so quick?
It's a sleigh, you asshat.
No. Not. I know how Santa got there. How the hell did Percy Hemingsworth and
his
wife?
He's rich, man. He's a rich, abusive cad.
Yeah, but wouldn't they have been on... It would have made more sense if they were on a boat.
He got a private boat.
All right.
He's rich. His father got an epic fist fight with abusive cad Percy Hemingsworth. As Sandy hugged his mother, he said, "Let him eat floor, Dad." It's weird. After healing the other two guards and putting them into a deep sleep, old Saint Nick strolled in with an uneasy smile. He then easily pulled the two brawling men apart with his titanic angel strength. His supernatural voice bellowed loudly, "Enough of this insane violence. This is Christmas Eve, for the love of God." Sandy pleaded with Santa that his parents should be together, as the wealthy cad said he had every right to keep his wife and demand everyone leave his property. Now, this is an insane power of Santa that I never knew he had here. Listen to this. Santa reluctantly agreed, but then recited some important words. "I, St. Nicholas, in my holy capacity of heavenly ambassador, hereby make this unholy marriage null and void in the eyes of the holy Lord and Savior of the universe. Whoa. Amen." He can dissolve marriages.
That would piss me off. Forcibly divorced you from your wife. And then Santa walks in and is like, "You're not married anymore."
What if that's what your wife wanted for Christmas and you didn't fucking... That's how you find out.
You don't get alimony or anything. You're just done.
Percy Hemingsworth angrily attempted to punch Santa and the kisser as he exclaimed those words meant nothing because he had marriage papers. Santa restrained him and said, "All papers and records of this marriage have been supernaturally disintegrated. You are no longer married, and you will continue to be on my naughty list for the rest of your life, no doubt." Santa placed the pathetic Percy into a deep sleep as Sandy's parents embraced and kissed. The joyous family used the snow globe to travel to North Pole City with Santa's blessing.
That wow. is amazing.
And this is something they don't show in the movie, see? Sandy's
consummate
parents finally get married.
Well, because I think his mom's dead in yeah. the movie.
Right.
So yeah, hard. They didn't want to deal with Percy Hemingsworth yeah, in the movie.
They didn't want to put a cat on
yeah,
him.
Yeah, the cat is a scary
But who
character.
Would have been the perfect cat in that movie? Jon Favreau himself, the director.
Yeah.
Sandy's parents finally get married. Santa finishes Christmas deliveries and had Mrs. Claus make plans with Sandy's biological mom for a wedding. While doing so, the women bonded as Ellen showed great gratitude toward Holly Claus for raising her son. All the elves approached Sandy and welcomed him back with open little arms. They officially declared he was a real elf. Sandy also made an effort to bond with his little brother, Nick Jr. At about 7 p.m. on Christmas Day, everyone gathered at St. Nicholas Church. In the witness of several elves, Sandy's parents were married by St. Nicholas himself. Naturally, Sandy was the best man, while Mrs. Claus was the maid of honor. To this very day, Sandy and his parents still reside in North Pole City. Often the Clauses and the Foresters get together for dinner and other activities. Sandy's full name is Sandy Claus Forester Elf, but he's still just called Sandy.
His last name's Elf?
Now, this is the most insane part.
Wait, so this is like a movie? It's like Milk. That's the movie. It's his last name.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, this is the craziest part. This part, they needed to have put this in the movie, and I think that they should release a version with this alternate ending.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
On Christmas 1914, Santa gave the Forester family a unique gift. Sandy and his parents opened a gift box and were transported into a mystical realm drenched in the spirit of Christmas. Sandy was made into a baby again, and his parents got to raise him until 18 within a dream world. They simultaneously believe it was real while knowing it wasn't. A supernatural state that is hard to explain. At the end of what seemed to be 18 years, their bubble reality ended and they exited to find only 1 month had passed. Sandy and his parents now had the memory of a happy childhood together. Sandy got the gift of two childhoods, both of which he remembers.
Did he have a say in being turned back to a baby?
No.
Oh my God, this is a fucking Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah. And then here's the epilogue,
that's not
guys.
A gift.
They also didn't cover this in the movie.
Holy.
Epilogue.
Way more cops.
After the orphanage priest died, he spiritually visited St. Nicholas from the great beyond. He confessed to secretly placing the baby Sandy in his toy sack after seeing how much Mrs. Claus loved the child. Santa forgave him and both agreed to never tell a soul for fear of the repercussions of a supernatural secrecy pact violation. Angels, demons, or any other entities who signed off on the SSP could possibly go back in time to prevent the event. Thus,
wow.
Sandy would never become an elf, nor would his parents ever find
happiness.
You don't
happiness. Want that
shit. Yeah.
Well, and that's the true
story
of Elf. Like I said, reality, it's stranger than fiction sometimes.
It really mm-hmm. is.
They have so many different magical things.
He got
that
turned into a
planet.
Baby for almost no reason at
yeah.
the end of it. Wow. That's amazing. Okay. I have, so I know it's a Christmas episode and we're supposed mm-hmm. to do all Christmas stuff, but I just found something that I liked a lot that it was not. It's holiday related, but not so much Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I have to apologize for that.
That's okay.
But. I do want to really quickly look at the... Have you ever looked at the disclaimer for this website?
I don't think so.
We might have looked it up the
it
first
has
time
a
we found it.
No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe we looked at it for a second, but at first you think that it's just like a normal like copyright policy or something, but it says this. The following text below may be required under the Supernatural Secrecy Pact of 33 AD. The characters, places, organizations, and events on this site, mysticinvestigations.com, are completely fictitious.
Wait, I know what happened in 33 AD.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Any similarity to any person living or dead is merely coincidental. Any similarity to any place, organization, event, or anything else for that matter is also purely coincidental. Despite this site being a total work of fiction, we have no way of knowing for sure if the various supernatural beings and folklore mentioned actually exist on this planet, another planet, or a parallel universe. In fact, they might very well exist. If you believe the religion of godhoodism, which states that everyone who's good eventually ascends to godhood and creates their own universes, which we should do a deep dive on godhoodism at some point.
Yeah,
godhoodism
yeah.
might be the most important
separate website.
Part of this entire thing.
Yeah.
The guy who made Mystic Investigations has his own religion called godhoodism. Which he takes very seriously, has an entire blog about it. But basically, you become a god at the end of your life. Okay, next slide. Who knows if we're required to say all of this under the alleged supernatural secrecy pact of 33 AD, blah, blah, blah. The information on this site is not intended to or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice. And then this big medical disclaimer. But you might see this and say, oh, man, it's all fake. But no. they seeded these little things about the supernatural secrecy pact of 33 AD. And if you go to the next slide, there's a photo of this thing. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
That's the pact.
Whoa.
It's a golden tablet with a bunch of crazy writing on it. And wow. So this was signed. I'm guessing that these are all signatures of different
gods.
Santa,
yeah.
God, angels, all that sort of thing. And this is a very, very important pact. Okay, I want to move on from this, though. But I just like that they have this disclaimer, but then they tell us the truth in the disclaimer. Okay, so the story I'm covering is, what are the digital demonic dangers of Cyber Monday?
Mm.
This is by Xavier Remington. Here you have a photo. So you have a photo of some kind of hacker hacking into a MacBook, something that says 60%.
And that's in Mordor, it looks like.
In Mordor, and then there's a bunch of stairs up to heaven. It looks like heaven and hell almost. All right, next slide. So maybe you skipped the frightening shopping frenzy of Black Friday to avoid the dangers of being injured by hordes of human shoppers, zombies, vampires, and the demon god of greed, Mammon. A lot of bad things can happen in a chaotic crowd. There's also the potential for demon possession when it comes to those with weak minds. Those suffering from the unfortunate and mental condition of greed and a lust for material items they don't really need. These misguided individuals with monetary malevolence in their hearts are compelled to injure innocent people who get in the way of their supposedly sweet shopping deals. There's a lot of alliteration on this website. It seems sitting in the safety of your home and shopping the dynamic deals of Cyber Monday, that's an ad, built-in ad, on the internet is the way to go. Sure, it's a lot safer, but there are still risks as you furiously click away, adding items to your virtual shopping carts while whipping out your credit card. And there's a photo of a melted computer, guys.
Yeah.
And a scary set of yellow beady eyes behind a black
shadow.
Oh,
shit, I didn't even notice the eyes.
Yeah, so this can get scary.
I thought that was just a modem.
Next slide. Yeah. You may think that Cyber Monday's safe. The risk of Cyber Monday includes the aforementioned demonic possession for the simple-minded, overwhelmed by a lust of luxury items. There are indeed cyber demons within cyberspace.
Fuck.
Those dark spirits who can't quite make it into our reality completely end up as paranormal binary data forms on the internet. This makes sense when you consider that everything in our physical reality is ultimately composed of non-corporeal energy, which is, in essence, a dynamic form of data.
Mm.
Often, they become trapped in the unfamiliar reality. They are bound by the limits of the World Wide Web, hardware, and various software platforms. However, they can still be diabolically dangerous. Even more alarming is a new form of magic, which dark practitioners of magic, or even demons themselves, are writing intricate AI code that they can breathe life into. In essence, creating new cyber demonic life, their own private minions ready to dominate and corrupt the future virtual reality holographic internet.
Oh my God.
So,
and this is a Monday problem?
This is a big problem on Cyber Monday.
Jesus.
Next slide. Demons who merely haunt the web while still existing in the metaphysical world will simply use their cyber form to brainwash your mind. Once weakened enough, they will perform a standard direct possession. True cyber demons will sometimes have the assistance of a real-world demon to pass the possession off to. So they will possess somebody through their computer and then say, hey, Beagleborg, come get this bitch.
Yeah.
Scary.
The Beetleborgs?
Beelzebub? Beelzebub. It's considered a living sacrifice, and the cyber demon is rewarded with power and a promise to be released from the computerized prison someday. If it is merely a lone virtual demon, then on-screen hypnosis and Wi-Fi connections are their entry into your mind, body, and soul. The high-frequency electromagnetic waves of Wi-Fi act as a conduit for higher-dimensional cyber entities to enter your subconscious.
Oh, shit.
That is where perplexing possession begins.
Not perplexing,
perplexing possession. The risk of demonic possession is particularly high while sleeping. As your subconscious manages your greedy material-possessed thoughts of the day, be sure to sleep far away from the Wi-Fi or turn it off. Listen closely. Ethernet connections are best. We already knew that shit. Certainly, use of mobile devices is a risk on this malevolent Monday.
Oh, just on Cyber
just
Monday?
Just on Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday is probably the highest demonic attack day.
Next slide. How to repel cyber demons of darkness. And this is a pair of green eyes in a green hoodie shooting out ones and zeros.
It's a Jawa.
Cyber Monday is the number one day for calamitous cyber entities to rear their blasphemous binary heads forth to plague people with their hellish horror. If you want to avoid the hazards that range from computer issues to being eaten alive, then be extra cautious on Cyber Monday. Just think happy thoughts or realize there's plenty of trinkets for everyone on the internet. So don't obsess over your trinkets, guys.
Yeah.
You'll get your shopping deal, another ad. But even if you do, even if you don't, it's no big deal. Don't obsess over material items and keep a cool head along with a calm heart. If you see your computer starting to wig out, then immediately shut it down and leave the room because it could be a demon entering your domain. Blessing the computer with holy water to put water on your computer or merely cleaning the screen off with it can help. Placing religious artifacts around your computer can also help. Using a Bible as a mouse pad is a major moral measure of security as you surf the perilous virtual wave.
I never considered that.
Use the Bible as a mouse pad. As you surf the perilous virtual waves of Cyber Monday's ocean, swimming thick with sinister shopping sharks, if all else fails, try praying to the holy cyber god.
Cyber god?
Yeah, cyber god, man. Amen. Next slide. Cyber Monday at Mystic Investigations. So they're taking measures at Mystic Investigations.
Great.
And there's an ad on either side of this. One's for an LG OLED Evo that says it's time to upgrade your television.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Our employees are given 15 minutes every 2 hours to personally pursue the internet for Cyber Monday deals.
Mm.
All our computers are cyber vaccinated with the latest magical anti-demonic software, along with being blessed by a priest. There are also protection spells in place. Employees may also take turns on cyber patrol duty and shop on websites as they officially look for signs of trouble. Some are also assigned to our cyber phone center on this dangerous day. While waiting for calls, they are allowed to shop as well. Generally, we get information on the type of entity inhabiting one's computer, and then we design an antiviral-type program to deal with the supernatural scourge. Tougher cases require us or our partners in other communities to make a house call to exorcise the cyber demon.
Whoa.
Which could be a reboot of The Exorcist.
Yep.
Yes.
Is that your the computer cybersist. Or the your computers. Phone is completely has a demon in it, man. Get that thing out of here.
The computer cyst.
Interesting
computer
note.
Web.
This to me is the most interesting part of this whole thing,
Weber
guys.
Cyst.
Okay.
The web-so-cyst.
The exorcist.
Oh my God, it was right under
the
our exorcist. Nose.
The websorcite.
Or like
the websorcite.
The websorcite. Interesting note. Cyber genies are usually less nefarious God. And think Akinator. Akinator. Far less nefarious than their real life genie in a bottle counterpart. Their mind is oddly altered in a positive manner by becoming digital. Me too, man. Then there's the awesome freedom they feel not being confined to a bottle or lamp, nor are they bound by the three wishes rule. However, it's best to exercise caution if you come across one. They can still get quite vindictive if you offend them. So cyber genies are nothing like real genies at all.
Mm-hmm.
They don't grant wishes. They just live in the computer. They just guess to see what... Oh, you're talking about Hasanabi.
Right.
So that's interesting. I think maybe there's another slide, but that might be it.
Nope.
No, that's it.
That is it.
So that's the... I know that Cyber Monday is already over.
I want to know about Cyber God. I'm really into it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I forgot to include something about Cyber God, but maybe we can look at it real quick. Just search Cyber God Mystic Investigations. I'm sure it'll come up. Because I am interested to see.
I want to see a photo.
Cyber gods, this has got to be him, right?
Yeah.
Whoa! Oh my God!
He looks like a Tool music video.
Wait,
that's crazy.
Does the fabled cyber god exist?
It is a 5-minute.
Scroll
read.
Down. There are those who've claimed to have contact with a so-called cyber god. However, most of the time they are cyber demons, cyber genies, cyber ghosts, and other enchanted electronic entities, more or less real-life higher dimensional entities or souls that either purposely or accidentally are transmuted into digital data within one computer, a network, or on the greater World Wide Web internet. In the future, complex computer viruses may form an artificial intelligence and become cyber demon-like entities.
He predicted ChatGPT in 2017.
Oh, my
scary
God.
Scary as fuck, man.
And look, a metabolism secret has been revealed.
Try Himalayan this bizarre five-second hack. Let's just see if there's any more photos of him.
False cyber gods from the future.
Just keep going. Cyber god afterlife.
Weird science.
Wait. A genie possessing a computerized creation created Lisa the Weird Science Cyber Genie. Wow. The Cyber God's mission. What does he want?
Whoa.
He kind of looks like
he helps, and he stops the AIs. It says he fights against the AIs on
thank
behalf of
God. We have thank Cyber God. That we have this Cyber God fighting for us against the genies.
Well, and thank God for the LG OLED Evo.
Yep, and that's actually an amazing deal.
That is a great ass deal.
That's a great deal.
Check this out if you have money.
And Alexa's built into that, guys.
You're looking for a Christmas present. Mm-hmm. That's a gift guide.
All right, you guys, that is the episode.
It looks like we might be getting arrested. Yeah, pretty, I think there's a pretty sweet raid.
Paddy wagon is in front of the office. They have been here for an hour, so something crazy must have happened while we were recording.
So if you don't mind, we're going to go talk to some police officers. Mm. Bye, guys. Guys, I've made a terrible mistake. Maybe a marriage-destroying mistake.
Oh, no.
Yeah, last night.
What happened?
Me and my wife have decided to start doing a budget, right? To take care of our money, man.
I've been on the budget too, and it's been ruining my life.
It's not good, dude. It's not good.
Dude, the moment you realize how much money you actually have,
and your wife makes double the amount of money, and it's still not that much money.
Exactly the same experience.
And then she's like, "Is this really how much money you make?" And I go, yeah, bitch. Dude, we have an office.
And, actually seeing the exact number of money I'm putting into savings every month.
Yeah.
This should probably be more than two digits sometimes, huh?
It's only sometimes.
Yeah.
But so last night we went over this budget, spent hours doing it.
Yeah.
We set up a joint bank account. It took us weeks. We finally
got it
put together. Had to go to Bank of America, set up the joint bank account. It took days.
I'm
going to
need your advice on this because we have no idea how to do this.
He said that this is marriage ending. I don't think you need his advice.
I know. He's working up to the mistake.
I made the mistake. Okay. So last night, we set up the entire thing, right? And then in my checking account, not that much money, but we agreed that like our joint checking account is going to be groceries and stuff that
expenses.
We'll both do, right? So last night, she goes to bed and I stay up so I can do the dishes like a good guy, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm watching YouTube videos and I get this ad, man. I get this ad for something called Alpine Butcher that sells A5.
You were saying you were going to buy it last night after the gym. Oh my God. Did you put it on the fucking joint bank account?
I accidentally bought it with the joint bank account. Card A5 marbling score 12 Wagyu New York strip steak is $130.
And for one, from a YouTube ad, bro. I was telling you, go to fucking Costco. Go anywhere but buying A5 Wagyu online. There's butcher shops all over this fucking neighborhood.
How the fuck are you buying something off of YouTube?